Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings and hotel. Welcome to the Care to Read Room. You've got your Omi Inca 7 live coming to you straight from my studio. I'd like to say Habari Gani to each and every one of you. And thank you for tuning in this evening. This is a rescheduled show. I wasn't on last night. I'd like to say to you and to those who were waiting for me last night, thank you so very much for continuing to follow me. But periodically, I'm going to have changes of my schedule. So that was just one of those days. But I'd like to come back to you broadcasting this evening. Every now and then, I have to go to the filler station and get filled up myself. So I was busy listening to someone else's broadcast last night. And nevertheless, it was a rather interesting show. I felt that I was enlightened, and I was also informed. And that's what these shows are all about, to make us enlightened and informed. And that's why we want to come on at least once a week, so we can inform you about things that are going on. And as I said, I wanted to inform you about the educational system. And periodically, I might be deviating from the topic. We've been rounding up some guests to come on our show and talking to them about what aspect of education needs to be addressed. Now, as you know, we have been playing around with the Common Core aspect, the Common Core standards, and now we want to talk to you a little bit today about homeschooling and how the collaboration of family child care providers who have been around for quite a long time, how they could collaborate with our homeschool segment and how the benefit of them combining themselves together could be beneficial so that they can both get great staff development. And we want to talk to you homeschoolers out there and you parents who are family child care providers. And that's what our subject will be on for our makeup show today. So you lucked out and got a special treat. We've got a large sum of family providers that are throughout the state of Indiana. I don't know about the state that you're currently in, but there are quite a few family child care providers. And the things that we're going to talk about is immunization for children. We're going to also talk about accreditation and which particular program do you go with for your family child care curriculum? And can you become an independent school and become a private school, or do you have to abide by regulations that are set by DCFS? Now, you family child care workers, you know quite a bit about the law. Unfortunately, those mothers who are just starting to do homeschooling, they are without a lot of knowledge or legal knowledge about the laws. Now, one thing I do want to say, when we come back from the break, I hope that you will connect yourself to a homeschool expert and find out all the laws in your community, because schools are closing. Yes, they are. Parents are getting frustrated. Some of them have yanked their children out of school and decided to do it at home for themselves. Now, there's nothing wrong with that, parent. I solely support you in that particular area of your life. However, I will say this much. You must do it appropriately, and you must have that child connected to some type of curriculum and some type of record-keeping program so that you can keep track of the child's transcript so that when the child does transfer on to a higher-level institution, there are records and transcripts that will follow it. Now, we will be talking to you right after the break, and we'll be getting right into the subject after we do our libation. So we want to take a station identification, and bear with us. We'll be right back at you in the atmosphere. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. We're back, and thank you so very much for joining us this evening. And I'd like to say to all of you parents who are out there, your children probably are already tucked in bed, but nevertheless, this is a topic for the family. We're talking to those potential homeschoolers out there and those who are already homeschooling, and we're also going to be talking to the family child care provider. If you are an owner of a child care and you are keeping less than 5 children, we're also talking to you as well. So stay tuned. We'll be right back at you in the atmosphere. Have to do a little house cleaning. Welcome back, family. Once again, I'd like to thank you for joining us this evening. Our topic is homeschooling and family child care who implement programs within their family child care in the area of Montessori work. Now, I'd like to speak to you if you are currently already licensed in your home, and you're not being monitored by DCFS because you have less than 5 children. Those of you who are not going that route and are not quite ready to become a full-blown school, it is to your benefit to look at what those laws are and try to become a licensed bona fide school. Now, I want to say to the family child care providers, there are so many regulations that are out there, and those regulations that are out there to protect you and those children that are in the care of your home. It's very vital that you understand that when you become a private school, that means that you are not taking various funds from the government. And that means you also are not eligible for those fee vouchers as well. But I'm not going to be getting into all of that. I just want to talk to you a little bit about how it's very important and vital that you network with your family child care network with the homeschoolers. It's very vital that you understand that you need a source of collaboration. You need to be connected to some industry as well and be on somebody's board and be able to have your ear to the grind to find out just what it is that your center needs and to find out how you could benefit from those services and the grants and funding that's out there. Now, homeschooling, let's talk a little bit about homeschooling. There was a lot of controversy over homeschooling in different states because laws change from state to state, whether or not it's legal, whether or not you have to have a bona fide certified teacher within your home, whether or not you have to carry out lesson plans on a day-to-day basis, or whether or not you have got to keep scores and records and grades of that child and attendance. I would like to say this much. Don't go do a worse job than the institution that you claim was inadequate. It does not matter that you can go and snatch your child out. Now you don't do anything in the realm of administrative work. You just train the child. You've got to do more than just train the child. You've got to keep administrative records because that child is depending on you to make sure that when he makes his transition into a higher institution or maybe even to another school, that you have proper documentation that he has spent so many hours within school that year with attendance being kept, as well as each report card with the grades on it and the units of absentees that the child has had, as well as his tests, his quizzes, and his scores. And parents, if you're doing evaluations, you want to also document your evaluations as well. It's very vital that you know what you're doing. You just can't play house when you're doing homeschool. It's not that easy. Most of the people I know that are doing homeschool, they're hooked up to some sort of higher institution that might do record keeping for them, that might also plan field trips and connect them to other homeschooling mothers where they can collaborate their efforts and they teach in a duality type of manner where they may teach different subjects, two subjects together, and at each other's home, giving that child a chance to travel and get out of his surroundings and to reconnect himself with other peers in his community. Now, I want to also say that parents, you have access to the public schools' extracurricular activities such as their area of sports, basketball, soccer, wrestling, whatever type of extracurricular programs that are offered within your district, you're eligible to send your child to those programs so they're not completely disconnected from all socioeconomic activity. It's vital that you should understand, parent, that just because you're the parent, that does not mean that you're an expert on every subject. When you get materials, you must be orientated to the curriculum. So it's very vital, whoever you buy your curriculum from, that you go in to have an orientation and have that district or that particular company that you bought your curriculum from allow you to have an on-demand webinar or a face-to-face orientation of how to utilize that curriculum. Why do I say that? Curriculum is so very detailed these days, and with your language arts curriculum, it is so combined with so much literature and infusing of different types of textbooks and extra material, as well as streaming material from the library. So you have to know how to apply the material and how to use it to get the best benefit out of it. So many districts have bought a lot of material, and the teachers were never orientated on the material. So the material got stuck over in a corner, you say, Omi, and nobody ever touched it. But through osmosis, some of the children went over and rubbed up against that material, got educated about it, pull those boxes out the closet, start teaching themselves. That happens periodically, unfortunate teachers and parents. That's because teachers don't want to read instruction. They have too much to do, and their lesson plans with their mimeographs and ditto copies are a lot easier to introduce. Now, mothers, let me say this to you. Don't mimeograph your students to death, and don't ditto copy them to death either, and stop giving them all them darn worksheets. If you're going to give a worksheet, take that worksheet and adapt it, and make sure that that child is using all of his motor sensory. And that is not just where he is scribbling on the page, but he is cutting, he's making adaptation, he is processing, and he can show you a four-step how he got or derived at that answer through the processing of that worksheet. Especially for your children that might be minimal brain disorder or attention deficit disorder, you have to adapt those worksheets. Just don't hand out worksheets to students who have some remediation problem. They're going to be further distorted by the time you finish mimeographing them, because all they're going to be doing is ditto, 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 ditto. You get my drift? Some children will tell you, I can't do another worksheet. Can't we do something else that's fun? Or when are we going to go to gym? See, if you make your activities and lesson plans around creative movement and music and your history classes are taught the same way with dramatization, then you'll get the ear of the students. Otherwise, they'll see you when you get a better lesson plan. Call them up. They'll even meet you out in the playground, but they're sure not going to be present for that lesson. And I'll tell you, I've seen it more than not, because in my many years of teaching, I've had children to come to me and say, can we do that lesson we did last semester, the one where we did all those fun things? You know, the one where we did a mission to Mars and we all spent the whole school year preparing for our tasks and our job so that we could go over to the university and actually role play and carry out the jobs of that responsibility. They know what real life is, and they know what it's like to have a job. So make all of your lesson plans centered around the outcome of a job, that everything that you plan, they will have to perform and demonstrate like a practicum. Start setting your class up like a laboratory. My kids didn't know if they were in a rainfall or in the monsoons or over in Africa when they walked in my class. They were constantly saying, what is this? Why is this laboratory atmosphere set up? Why do I have a microscope on my desk? What's going on with that stuff hanging out of the ceiling? And why are we putting beans in water, soaking them? You have to create an environment. Remember, education is adduce. You are not teaching these students anything, teachers or parents. You're adducing. The term adduce means to draw out of. You drawing out of the child what's already there. And they have tons of information inside of them. If you only intrigue them by setting the environment up, you can draw it out of them. Now, science was my favorite. I suggest you get a little knowledge about science and set your classroom up in the manner of a laboratory so that it becomes an exploratory lab. And they will come in and they will find their specimens and work on them. Now, once again, let's get back to some serious things here. I thought I'd give you a few jokes today. Classroom teaching can be fun, and you'll learn a lot from that student. But let's talk about the home school. Mothers, don't try to duplicate your house like it's the schoolhouse, the little schoolhouse on the prairie. When you walk in, you got blackboards everywhere, and the child cannot begin to see that cushy, soft seat and the soft light over in the corner where he can just bow down into that cushioned chair and get into some reading. You want to make your home environment relaxing like it is a home environment. But don't forget, You're going to have to keep the environment loaded with print and books and material. So I would suggest you understand that books should be inviting. That's right. I mean, if you have to get the attention of someone who doesn't read, put a bathtub in the living room if you have to and fill it full of books so that they can jump in there like they're taking their next bath. We have to do everything we can to the point of standing on our head to get our children intrigued about literacy. That's why you have to use these streaming videotapes, but you don't want to make them passive. So don't use all streaming videotapes. Use some interaction with dramatization and playwrights so that they can stay involved and stay conscious. Because some of these children will check out on you and take a nap while you're in the middle of your best lesson plan. So in order to wake them up, make sure that you're about it. Okay? And I am saying this because a child will walk up to you and say, well, you ain't about it. And this lesson plan ain't all of that you've been raving about. They will tell you. And if you let them teach the lesson back to the class, it will be so interesting. It'll cause you to want to sit down and take notes because they know what they're doing. Trust me, they've had a lot of lessons from you and a lot of stored up messages. They may be sitting quietly for a moment, but if you let them cut loose, they will tell you the real truth and nothing but the truth, Ruth. They really want to know, how does this real thing called life work? So when you talk to the students, constantly talk to them about real life situations. Don't go giving them no fairy tales about how the dish ran away with the spoon. You may get some of those little six-year-olds in there to tell you, Miss Dart, ain't no dish ran away with the spoon, not in our house, because we ain't got no dish. We eating out of paper plate. That's right. They will tell you real quick, don't bring them those fairy tales. Tell them about real-life situations, how they can get out of situations, and make those lesson plans applicable to their lives in the hood, in the urban setting. Don't make it always creatively designed for some suburbanite child who it would never happen to in their neighborhood. They'll tell you, oh, no, that never would have went on in our neighborhood. Ain't nobody coming up in here trying to sell no ice cream and don't think that they're going to take us out. The whole community won't have. We ain't having that in our community. They'll tell you what is going on in the community, so take the pulse of your children. Make sure you recognize what type of children you're teaching. All children cannot be taught the same way. And don't go telling me all children are alike. They all can be taught the same way. That's not true. You are going to have to take a lesson from the young boy from the urban setting and find out how they do it in his neighborhood or her neighborhood. That's why I tell you that children do come to school with something to offer. All children bring something to school to offer. Even though they might come with 4,000 or 5,000 less words, guess what? If you tap into their vocabulary, you might find some words that you never heard of before. Didn't you know it? Their Ebonics is a regularized code, is still considered as a language, last time I checked. So therefore, you get the book on their language and their code words and realize they're still communicating while you're still saying, oh, that boy don't know nothing. He don't know his vocabulary words. She only knows some of the words. They might not know the words that you put up on the board, but they're constant words that they're using throughout their Twitters each and every day that they're using to communicate with that we don't even know anything about. So I say learning comes from the student, too. When you're in a family home care setting, you want to utilize those extended family members. You want to make sure that those elders are there so that they can give them those long history stories and be a part of your curriculum. Don't try to teach everything in your curriculum by yourself. Don't try to be no superwoman, because when you start putting on the hat for the math teacher in the morning, they can go along with that. But by the time noontime comes around and now you're the fairy godmother and you got a different hat on, they say, I know who you are. You're the same teacher I had this morning. Mom, this is getting boring, Mom. Mom, you need to bring somebody else in here to teach this lesson. Mom, you don't know the lesson, Mom. They will come out and tell you. Don't play them. Homeschooling can be fun. Bring in the next door neighbor or whoever else is homeschooling and your team teach together when y'all got that thing together and know what you're talking about. Because children can tell when you're talking about a subject. They really are familiar with what you're doing. So I would like to say this to homeschoolers. Go to the workshop. Go to the seminars and the conferences. Gather up all the material you can. Most of all, get an administrative kit and become orientated and register with a specific institution once you look over your curriculum and make a decision. Stick with it for a year. See how it works and be consistent. Don't let Johnny sleep until noontime. Now you say, up, it's time for homeschooling. Johnny, you up there? Johnny said, no, Mom, I just got to bed around 4 o'clock this morning. Ain't going to be no homeschooling today. All right, Johnny, we'll do it tomorrow. Now, Mom, you cannot be a consistent homeschooler when you letting Johnny sleep the day away. I'm saying this because I've seen it happen. I've seen where mothers will invite you in to help them set their homeschooling up, and Johnny won't get up out of bed because he stayed up all night watching the videos. What I want to say is, you cannot be a role model if you're not together. You got to get up awfully early to beat those youngsters at their own game. Get up early enough. A good teacher's preparation is what determines her or him as a master teacher, because you've got to work that lesson before they get up, and you've got to have all of your preps already prepped and laid out. So don't go trying to get Johnny up for something that you have not even arranged and prepped. Make sure that you have the proper utensils and tools that you need to run that homeschooling. And if you don't know anything about a homeschooling, go to the family child care homes. They always know something about homeschooling because they're constantly going out there to the workshops. And governments have been paying for their workshops for a long time. That's why I'm telling you to hook up with the family child care provider. Say it with me. Family child care provider. She got her thing together because she got the grant. And they sent her back to school to get that child care development 101. And she even got her director's license. So look out. Sister Girl is now an administrative director of her own child care. She's running family child care and a home school, too, because she's got school-age kids coming to visit her after 3:30 when she puts down the preschoolers and infants and toddlers for their nap. So she runs an after-school program. So she's running a bona fide home school. Mothers, I want you to get with those family child care providers, network with them, find out who's paying for their training, find out which centers are offering the next continuing education course, and you get involved in a preschool program. And then have school-age, after-school extracurriculum programs as well. Structure your homeschool like it is a family child care center, because you will find that you're eligible for all kinds of benefits, workshops, seminars, symposiums, and they will send you clearly all across this country to represent the family child care department. Those are the areas that's got it going on because they're funds that will give the teacher a chance to go back and get remediated and properly trained. They're funds to help her rebuild her house, to work on establishing her environment to meet code expectations. There's also funds in her budget to send her aide off to school to get trained. There are tons of funds, and the reason why I know is I helped to set up some of the family child care centers in Milwaukee, and there was funds all over the place and scholarships that those young women were able to get, starting off with a family child care center, then matriculating to an independent private choice school. Now they're doing something because they're a homeschool, truly a homeschool, because they've learned about curriculum and they've learned age-appropriate and best practices for not only child development, but school-aged children as well, because there's conferences for school-aged children that I recommend all of you family child care people go to. Go to these workshops. Go to these seminars. Don't call yourself no homeschool when you say, yeah, I don't go to these conferences. Ain't nothing that can teach me. I'm the parent. Yes, you're the parent. But the parent needs to be informed, too, about the latest core curriculum, standard core curriculum, and all the modernized Montessori you can find. Now, here's what I want to tell you. We've always thought Montessori was for the rich. But if you knew anything about the history of Maria Montessori, you would figure it out that Maria Montessori created that curriculum for inner-city children who were struggling. So it is by far the best curriculum I have ever seen because it allows you to set your environment up where you become very accustomed and acquainted to your environment, and you're constantly refilling all of your departments and working with your environment and introducing the child to the environment where they become engaged in the environment independently. And you can go on to use your time to assess them like a director assistant. And that is all that a Montessori teacher does primarily, is act in the capacity of a facilitator and going from child to child to assess them on a day-to-day basis and to facilitate learning in small group sessions or individually. It's very vital that you should know that Montessori is not just for rich children and is not a program where children don't get taught. I like to beg the difference with you. I am solely supportive of Montessori. I have worked in the capacity of Montessori, and my children have gone to school in Montessori, and it was by far one of the better, well-organized, peaceful training I have seen. So mothers, I'd like for you to take orientation on Montessori wherever you can find it. There are opportunities in your state that allow you to become retrained in some states like Illinois, and you can obtain the grant funding to complete your Montessori training. Now, the Montessori in the home is a fairly new program. That is Montessori in the family child care. It's fairly new. However, most people go to school for at least 2 years to get an associate degree in Montessori training. But there are all types of adaptation programs that are out there now in distance learning. You can find them all over the internet, and there are some that will even come to you, mothers. They will bring their full training to you and orientate your trainers and yourself for a price. And if you're getting state funding, you can use that to pay for your orientation in your home so that you learn all of the administrative tasks and how to run that school. It's vital that you know something about administrative work and economic work because you have to balance budgets and you have to also act as a corporation. And if you don't know about your business, you have to have a business plan to lay out everything it is that you're going to be doing in that school. So I want to say for those back-to-school teachers who are really fed up and want to work for themselves and want to set up their own school, don't be so quick to jump out there. Sister girl, I'll tell you, it's a lot of work. It is a lot of work and a lot of commitment. And you have to be prepared, but most of all, you need to have your parents in place. They are the sole primary tactic that will work towards developing your school. Without that, you don't have a school because they're the backbone to supporting your school and bringing in those students and the funds. So I'd like to say to you homeschoolers, don't get caught up into any laws that you haven't researched. Make sure you research the laws to make sure that it's legal in your area and make sure that you are following all the guidelines so that you don't get shut down. In addition to that, go to workshops, go to seminars, and if you're not so sure if you want it in your home and you still want to do the work, go to some of your churches and offer to be an administrator for their child care center and set it up in an actual brick-and-mortar building, if that's what you're more inclined to do. But it's very vital that you should understand that schools are closing by the handfuls, and they're looking to you to look at the charter schools, the choice voucher system, and the choice voucher system is one that Polly Williams helped to set up in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. And we were there during the years that she was fighting to get those programs in place. I know about the struggle to bring in the choice voucher, and I worked with several of the programs to get them up and running and to get teachers trained for those programs. And my desire to do that once again is to work with the family child cares and to create the Family Life Center around that. And I think it would be more conducive if we form partnerships with family child care centers and homeschooling, and we will make our cohesiveness better and stronger. And for you teachers who are retired and have credentials and licensing like myself, go to these family child care and these homeschools and help them to reestablish. That is what I've been doing, and I intend to continue to do that because we can make our private choice schools a strong Pan-African school, which is what we need. We need Afrocentric schools that will focus in on the history of the African American. Most children drop out of social studies by the time they're in middle school. They don't want to hear anything about slavery. You are not going to hold their attention when it comes to telling them that their people never did anything. They want to hear about the progressive African Americans who are prospering. So it's very vital that we have a structure where we are working together in partnership in order to facilitate a better program for family child care. Because if we take them from infantile all the way up to the point where we're transitioning from the home to a center base, then we can work connectedly, private schools, with those family child care, and we can have our collaborative meetings together, and we can become a community again. Because that's what we're lacking. Parents do not have a community to work with. So it's very hard to do homeschooling without a community. You need your extended family members. You need those elders to teach from a perspective of elders, and you need them in your home when your homeschools first open up. You need them in your homeschool so that they can teach them about the history and pass the baton on. Without elders in your homeschool, you are lacking something. The rites of passage, and that is a program you need to offer in your homeschool for your elders, first of all, so that they can become the elders of your program. Then you need to carry that to another level where you start the rites of passage for the male and the female genders. It's very vital that African-centric schools have a rites of passage program that will address the history of their people and the continent of their character so that they can build good character and good conduct. And one of the things that our schools are failing in right now is conduct. And we've got to develop good conduct in our schools. And we're constantly pointing the finger at the teacher for conduct. The teacher cannot parent that child. That child must come to school with skills that will allow him to be disciplined enough to receive the lesson. But when we don't have parents at home, We've got a mandate that those parents, if they're getting free services or on any type of free lunch program, mandate that they spend 20 hours in your school interacting with that child and giving them parenting class and teach the parent right along with the preschooler. That's why preschool is so vital, because you can have the parent enrolled in a parenting class at the same time the child is enrolled in a half-a-day preschool class. You can also have that parent go through a training where they will learn the significance of parenting 101, and they can come out with skills as well as learn to read. So it's very vital that if you're going to do a homeschool, you got to do a collaboration with many people in the community. It's not just about you shutting the door, closing the door, and bringing all your children in saying, I'm going homeschool. You're going to find that your child will become isolated. Your child will become withdrawn. Your child will not function well in society if you have to grab that child back into the community. So it's very vital that you should get your community of friends and people together before you decide to do homeschooling and connect them to a network of people that you can transact lesson plans with, interact with training in duality, traveling to field trips together, and writing your lesson plans and units together. It's very vital that we come back to a communal setting for African Americans, a communal setting, because it's so vital that we need to understand this communal setting is what we're lacking. We have become so Europeanized that we do not understand that all children stay together when they start school and they all finish on time. There are no children left behind in the African concept, because each African child teaches the other African child